very much, Truth Trackers. Amen. I appreciate that a lot. I will say, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15 tonight. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 15, I will make a public statement that we got here just in time tonight. And the reason we got here just in time is because somebody was waiting in the car for 10 minutes for somebody else before we could get here on time. I won't tell you that the somebody waiting in the car was my wife and granddaughter, and I was the one inside, but after what I said this morning, the Lord taught me a lesson here this evening, because they were out there waiting in the car, and we had a couple of things I was trying to finish up, and so they were waiting, and they didn't let me forget it either. They were very good at giving me, the problem is they didn't say anything. You know, I mean, I've been standing, I could have been out 5 minutes earlier, really, but I was standing inside thinking, I can't face this. What are they going to say? And then I finally, got bold and went out the door, and the worst thing is they didn't say anything. They just gave me that look, that look. So anyway, but we got here just in time, and I'm glad we did. Because we enjoy being here. I mean that sincerely. I enjoy speaking, but I just enjoy being here in the fellowship. We are in Luke chapter 15 this evening, and we are starting at verse 23, and we're going down to verse 32. Now, that leaves a gap, because this morning we did verses 1 through 10. I was going to make a couple of comments on the prodigal son, verses 11 through 22, but actually, we'll be gone this next week. We're going to be helping our daughter get ready to make a move and New Orleans, but I'll be back the week after. We'll be here both Wednesdays, but we'll just be away between the Wednesdays. We'll be here this Wednesday, we'll be here the Wednesday after, but we'll be gone Sunday, and I'm so glad Brother Hall can be here. And what I'll do is not next week, but the week after on Sunday evening, I'll just preach on the prodigal son, verses 11 to 22. I was going to highlight that just for a couple minutes, but it needs more than just a highlight. But tonight, we want to take a look at verses 23 through 32, and the title, as you noticed in your bulletin, is The Danger of an Unforgiving Spirit. The Danger of an Unforgiving Spirit. And let me read the verses and we'll have a word of prayer and begin. Luke chapter 15, verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Now, his elder son, verse 25, was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never given me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon, verse 30, as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, as we go to this passage of Scripture, we thank you for recording it for us. We are so grateful for the lessons that are taught in your word, knowing that they are true. And as we go to them and study them and pray over them, you give us, Father, truth that we can apply to our lives. And that would be our prayer tonight. There's a warning here, and we pray, Father, that you would guard us and keep us from the dangers of it. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you noticed over the years how something has changed dramatically in the marketplace and dramatically when you purchase an item? Whenever you purchase an item anymore, you get an instruction book with it usually. And when you open up the instruction booklet, you have to wade through a number of what before you actually find out how to use the product? A number of warnings. Years and years ago, my children chipped in and got me a nail gun set, a Bostik nail gun set with the compressor and the nail guns, and I just never have gotten around to using it. In fact, it's been in the box probably for 5 or 6 years. And just this past, a couple weeks ago, I got it out, used it, didn't really read the instructions. You know, you don't have to read the instructions, do you? Just use it. But I was trying to use it this week, and I had a problem with it, so I had to go to the instructions. The gun jammed, and I wasn't sure what to do about it. So I went and found the book, and I opened it up, and I said, okay, what can I do to solve this problem? And here's what I find. 14 different warnings on the first page before I could even find out how to operate the gun. And it was so interesting to me when I think about this, because that's exactly what we're finding in this passage of Scripture tonight. There's a warning here about something that Christians can become victims to, and that warning is an unforgiving spirit. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you can't miss the fact that there is joy and rejoicing throughout the passage. We went through that this morning when we saw the lost lamb. We went through that when we saw the lost coin. And then we see that in regard to the prodigal son returning unto his father. If you want to highlight that, you can notice with me verse 6 tonight. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found thy sheep which was lost. You'll notice about the coin, it's in chapter 15, verse 9. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then you notice in regard to the prodigal son, we read in verse 24, For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, and he began to make what? Merry. The idea of rejoicing, being happy again. So everybody in this chapter seems to be what? Happy. Until you come to verse 24. And when you come to verse 24, you find the elder son. And even though all of this happiness was taking place because all of this had been discovered about the prodigal son returning home and repenting of his sin and turning back to his father, you find the elder son not heeding the warning and holding on to an unforgiving spirit, and he's a very unhappy man. In fact, it says in clear English for us in verse 28, And he was angry and would not go in. Can you imagine that? His brother that left, his brother has been gone. The father, obviously, who was looking afar off for the brother day after day, now he knew that his father was praying for his brother. Probably every meal they had and every devotional time they had, he was praying for him and whatever. Now his father's prayer has been answered. His brother that's been in such a mess has repented and turned. And by the way, we'll see in a week or so, a couple weeks now, that the brother actually says, I have sinned. He doesn't pull any punches. He said, I've sinned. And I've done wrong. And it should have been a time rejoicing. The elder brother should have been running in there. But he didn't, because he didn't heed the warning of an unforgiving spirit. And that unforgiving spirit robbed the elder brother of his joy. And we have to ask ourselves the question this evening, do we ever allow an unforgiving spirit to rob our joy? When others are rejoicing, are we complaining? Because we've allowed an unforgiving spirit to fester and not heeded the warning of God's word. Now, with that in mind, let's progress from there and move to a first point this evening. And the first point I want to look at this evening is this. Two signs of an unforgiving spirit. Two signs of an unforgiving spirit. I believe we find these outlined in verses 25 to 27. Excuse me for a moment. In verses 25 through 27, here's what we read. It says, first of all, in verse 25, Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, verse 27, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. The first sign I believe we see in this passage of Scripture is the sign of a self-centered life. People who have an unforgiving spirit often display a self-centered life. They're not caring about others, but they're caring more about themselves. Now, you see that hinted at here as you see his reaction to hearing that his brothers returned. And if you think I'm being a bit harsh on him, let's move to verse 29 and listen to how he expresses it verbally. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do, what's the next word? I serve thee. Neither transgress, next word, I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that, next word, I might make merry with my friends. Folks, the sign of an unforgiving spirit is often a self-centered life. I believe that the situation we find with the elder son is this. I think that he was enduring life, performing his duty for his father, waiting to get his inheritance eventually, wanting to know what he was going to get for what he did, rather than enjoying life out of devotion and giving of himself to others. I would have thought, for example, and I know we jumped through verses, we skipped over the prodigal son passage at the moment, but I think if you go back and think about this for a moment, I would think that it would have been the elder son who would have reached the prodigal son first, even before the father. I don't know many younger men who can't outrun the older man. And I'm thinking the father looking off afar off and seeing the younger son return, seeing the answer to prayer, might have called out, your brother's returning. And the younger and the elder brother should have been outrunning the father to meet him. But no, that's not the case. We don't see that at all. We see the elder brother reflecting a self-centered life. Look what I am doing. Look what I have done. Look what I've accomplished. And we're going to see some pretty mean language in the next verse and the next point when he talks about what his brother had been doing. And we see oftentimes that case. An unforgiving spirit, one of the signs of it, is a self-centered life. So if you're living a self-centered life, recognize the warning that you're in danger of having an unforgiving spirit. When somebody does something that's not to your liking, somebody crosses your path in the wrong way, somebody doesn't please you the way you want to be pleased, you're going to find yourself with an unforgiving spirit and you're going to have your joy robbed. Remember, that's the key here. We're not thinking about the father here. We're not thinking about the younger brother here. We're not thinking about anyone else here except the elder brother, that the sadness that this elder brother missed the opportunity to rejoice and have joy because he harbored an unforgiving spirit. There's another sign I see we in the scripture, and that is this. The second sign is an unforgiving spirit is often a sign of a critical life, of a critical life, not just the self-centered life, like in verse 29, I and I and I, but also we see here a critical life, verses 26 and 27. When we look at these verses, we notice the elder son heard the joyful music, but sensed something was wrong, and he stayed outside and sought a what? Sought a servant. Now, that was his home, wasn't it? And what would you do if you went home this evening? Well, that's not a good question to answer, because if you went home this evening and you heard joyful music coming from your home and the lights turned down and people cheering, that might make you nervous. I understand that, okay? But let's say your family is home and you've been away, and you come back and you hear and come to a happy scene. You've been out of town, you get back in town, you drive up the driveway, there's people singing, the lights are on, people are happy, church is gathered together having some great fellowship. What's your reaction? Well, my reaction would be to run inside and find out what's going on. What's everybody so happy about here? What's happened? I want to be a part of it, what? Also. But you'll notice there are those that have that critical spirit that they, what's going on here? Why is this happening here? It makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? You would think that he would have been happy to know there was happiness in his home. But it was almost like, wait a minute, go back to our first point. He was self-centered. I'm the one that they should be happy about. I'm the one that should bring happiness. I should be the center of happiness. And if dad's happy because, and I'm not in there, then I'm jealous of that. I'm critical of that. I want to know what's going on. And I won't even go in to find out myself. I'll ask one of the what? Servants to come out and tell me. Isn't that kind of strange? Look, if you would, at the verses so you'll know I'm not exaggerating there. Verse 26 says, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Why is there music? Why is there dancing? Why is everybody so happy? And the servant said unto him, verse 27, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. So I believe that we can see in these verses, to begin with, two signs of an unforgiving spirit. There is the self-centered life, I, and there is the critical life. What's going on here? I'm not involved in this, and I'm not sure I approve of it either. But there's also two symptoms of an unforgiving spirit. What are the symptoms of an unforgiving spirit? Well, number one, we see in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. An unforgiving spirit is often accompanied by anger. It's often accompanied by anger. That's a strong word here. I mean, it wasn't the idea that he was concerned. It wasn't the idea that he was even troubled. It wasn't the idea that he was even perplexed. Why would my father kill a fatted calf for the brother that went out and wasted half of the inheritance? And why not? It wasn't even a confusion. It was just simply he was what? Angry. And you know, an unforgiving spirit can often manifest itself with that symptom. There's an anger there. Now, I want to make this clear, and that is anger is a God-given emotion. Amen? And anger in itself is not sin. If we took time this evening, we could turn very easily to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and we could read these words. Same with me. Be ye angry and sin not. There are times that you get angry. There are things you should get angry about. But you don't sin in that anger. You keep it in check, don't you? Well, this brother was not angry because there was an issue to be angry over, because Matthew also talks in chapter 5, verse 2, about being angry with his brother without a cause. And here we find this elder brother is evidencing the symptom of anger, and he's angry at what's going on, and I believe he's angry without a cause. Why? Because he had an unforgiving spirit. He had an unforgiving spirit that manifested itself in the self-centered life. It manifested itself in a critical life. And now the symptoms are starting to show, and there's anger that he is expressing. He's not even going in the house. He is so angry. But there's also a second thing, I believe, and that is this. In verse 29, which we just read, there's also a second thing, and I believe it's this. Not only is there the symptom of anger, but it's often accompanied, too, by the symptom of jealousy. The symptom of jealousy. Let's see if we find jealousy in these next two verses, 29 through 30. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. We read that verse earlier, remember? And I said there was something that was going to follow here. And what follows here is this elder son takes advantage of pointing out all the wickedness and sinfulness of the younger brother, who at this point, folks, has been forgiven. If you look back, and let's just do it for a moment, in verse 18 of chapter 15 of Luke, it says, this is the younger son when he was taking care of the hogs and came to his senses. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. When he went, his father saw him a great way off, verse 20, ran to meet him. He could have easily just not said anything, but he stopped his father and said in verse 21, the son said unto him, Father, stop. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Isn't that interesting? He had a real repentant heart. He had been forgiven, but you want to know something? The elder brother was so jealous. And what did the elder brother do? He throws all the trash out here in the next verse. Look at verse 30. But as soon as this day thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for him, the fatted calf. He had to point that out, didn't he? Now, it's true, the younger son took the inheritance in verse 12, and in verse 13, he wasted the substance and riotous living. But boy, the brother gets really clear here. I'm going to tell you exactly what he did. This fella, he doesn't deserve, what he's basically saying, would you agree with me? He doesn't deserve to be what? Forgiven. With what he's done, he shouldn't be forgiven. Friends, that's the evidence of an unforgiving spirit. And the unforgiving spirit does not really hurt the person that you're not giving forgiveness to, but it sure messes up your life. There are two signs of an unforgiving spirit: self-centeredness, critical life. There are two symptoms of an unforgiving spirit, and that is anger and jealousy. And the fact of the matter is that this younger son was just in a situation where he said, look what I have done and look what he has done, and I'm jealous that you killed a fatted calf for him and are making merry and you've not done that for me. I'm jealous, rather than saying, I'm so glad to hear that and I'm so happy. Now, you know what causes jealousy? If I can just sidetrack here just for a moment. If I were to ask what causes jealousy, it would be this. The elder son, I believe, was comparing himself with his youngest brother, and in comparison, he looked pretty good. But the problem is, we don't compare ourselves with younger brothers. We're supposed to be comparing ourselves with the person of Jesus Christ. And in essence, then, none of us look very good. Okay? That's a solving, isn't it? Woe unto me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips, says the prophet, when he looked at Christ. But when we look at our brother, we can say, oh, I'm better than him, and I'm better than him, and I dress better than him, and I talk better than them, and I got more possessions than them, and whatever else. But if Corinthians tells us, you know the scripture, don't you? Comparing ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. Feeds jealousy, doesn't it? And that's a sign in this passage of scripture of an unforgiving spirit. So two things we see so far. Two signs of an unforgiving spirit: a self-centered life. Number two, a critical life. Two symptoms of an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit often is manifested by anger, and an unforgiving spirit is often accompanied by jealousy. But now our third point this evening, what is that? Well, the third point this evening is this. Look at verses 31 and 32, and we title it, Two Shortcomings of an Unforgiving Spirit. Two shortcomings of an unforgiving spirit. Verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Two shortcomings of an unforgiving spirit. Number one is this: an unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the grace of God. An unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the grace of God. It says, by God's grace, all that we are and have is of Him. Amen? And by God's grace, others may have this too. Amen? So when you see somebody that's lived a terrible life, or someone in your family that's hurt you deeply, or someone that's wronged you in some way, and then you see them get right with God, honestly, inside there is that symptom of, I'm kind of angry about that. I know what they did to me, and they hurt my family, and they hurt our church, or did something of that nature, and there's some jealousy there. You know, why were they getting accolades now, and I didn't do anything wrong? Why am I not getting accolades there? And you can fall into that, except you realize this is a wonderful testimony of God's what? God's grace. I would pray that if someone would go astray like the prodigal son, I would pray if someone hurts me in some way to cause me grief, I would pray if someone forsakes me in some way, I would pray that they would repent and return. I think that's wonderful, because it's an evidence of God's grace. And when you share that with somebody, they say, what do you mean? You're friends with them again? Do you know what they did? Yeah, it's past tense, what they did. It's not what they are doing. The big difference. You know, a lot of times when we get angry, we say things we don't mean to say. A lot of times when we get angry, we do things we don't mean to do. I'm sure thankful for God's grace that has forgiven me when I've said things that I should not say, and I've done things that I should not do. Our marriage has lasted because I've been able to enjoy God's grace, and my wife has appreciated God's grace too. She could hold things against me and be sitting in the back pew tonight. In fact, she could be holding things against me. I could be all bruised and beaten tonight. Anyway, I know that just came out. I don't know what. But But boy, I've hurt her at times. I've said things to her at times, and I've done things at times, and it's just, and I have to ask forgiveness, and I'm so thankful she understands God's grace, and it's not a shortcoming. And you know another thing I like about it? We had to learn this early in our marriage. If you learned it, it was hard to learn, and that is when we do have a difficulty along the way, we don't throw up everything of the past that's already been forgiven, because it's under God's what? Grace. We don't say, you know what, even when I was dating you, this thing came out, and, you know, the first year we were married, this happened, and you know, I remember back in 1974 what you did, and some of you weren't even born back then. But anyway, I remember, you know what I'm saying? God's grace gives forgiveness, and along with forgiveness, in essence, comes forgetfulness. It's God's grace. And you'll notice here that is a shortcoming, though. The elder son, and again, don't correct me publicly because you'll embarrass me, and you could talk to me afterwards, but do you recognize in here? This younger son's father seemed to understand God's grace. When the young man stops his dad in verse 21 and says, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son, he could have easily said, that's right. I can't believe what you've done to our family name. I can't believe how you wasted all that money I worked so hard for. And you're right. You're not worthy to be my son. I'm glad you're back here. We'll keep you safe. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I could never forgive you for what you did. Wow, this whole passage would be so different. But that father had a spiritual maturity where he understood God's grace. And he understood the warning of an unforgiving spirit. And he forgave his son. And you know, he really forgave his son big time, because when you look at verse 22, the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put on the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. His father showed that he gave grace to his son, believed in his repentant spirit, accepted him back into the family. But notice a second shortcoming. The first short, and again, I'll just review these so we can get them fixed in our mind, but number one, two signs of an unforgiving life. Often there's two signs of an unforgiving spirit. Often there's a sign of it's a sign of a self-centered life. Often it's a sign of a, looking at another sheet here and get my eyes focused. Often it's a sign of a critical life. Two symptoms of an unforgiving spirit. Often it's accompanied by anger, and often it's accompanied by jealousy. And two shortcomings of an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the grace of God. And number two, an unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the teaching of Scripture. You say, now what do you mean by the teaching of Scripture? Well, let's keep our Bible markers here in the book of Luke, chapter 15, and turn back to Matthew, chapter 18, and verse 5. Matthew, chapter 18, verse 5. Here's the teaching of Scripture when it comes to the subject of forgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In other words, you have received what? You've given what? Forgiveness. You've been strained against that person. They hurt you in some way. Maybe they said something. Maybe they said it to you directly. Maybe they said it to somebody else. It hurt your feelings. And you go to that person. You say, I want you to know that really hurt me. That troubled me. And if he hears you and says, I'm sorry I said that. I know what you're saying is right. I ask you forgiveness for it. Then you gained your brother. In other words, you have a forgiving spirit, not an unforgiving spirit. There's more steps that can be taken in the church context, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Clearly, he's talking about forgiveness here. And he's talking about how to make amends with somebody that's offended you, or how to make amends with someone you have offended, and how to go through that process. Now watch, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Peter, always the spokesman, the jump off, and I love Peter. He asked questions that I really needed answers to. Okay, people fault Peter sometimes, like, why did he say that? I'm glad he did, because I would have thought the same thing. Here's what Peter does. Ready? He's okay with this. Sure, I'll forgive. Ready? Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How about seven times? Okay? I'm just going to do that. I have a copy of the church directory in my Bible case here. And what I'll do is I'll just be with you. And when you offend me, I'll just go ahead and check off one. Okay? And they ask forgiveness. I'll just cross that off. And then two. And I'll cross that off. But if, you know, how many times? Maybe seven? I mean, that's a perfect number. Let's go that far. Let's offer forgiveness seven times. But let's have a place where we can what? Draw the line. But you know what Jesus says? There's nowhere that we draw a line to evidence a forgiving spirit. You'll notice it says in the rest of this verse, in verse 21, it says, forgive him till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, that means an unlimited number of times. If someone asks forgiveness, we are to what? Forgive them. If we don't forgive them, then we're going to harbor an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit often is a sign, not always, but often, is a sign of a self-centered life. And it's a sign of a critical life. And it may evidence itself in anger, words and actions being said and done that shouldn't be. And it often can evidence itself by giving that symptom of jealousy and the competitive spirit. But we recognize the shortcomings of an unforgiving spirit are the not comprehending the grace of God. He forgives and forgets. And not remembering and comprehending the teaching of Scripture that we are to forgive even our brothers, as we see in our passage of Scripture, not just seven times as we see, but even seven times 70 if necessary. Now you say, well, that's one thing to teach and one thing to preach, but how does it work out in reality? Well, let's take a look. Take your Bibles and go back now to the book of Luke and go a little further than chapter 15. Go to the book of Luke and look at chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. As I mentioned, the unforgiving spirit and how important it is. Even Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Do you remember what it says? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, what is the limit of God's forgiveness? We find it here in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He forgave the very men that took him captive in the garden. He forgave the very men that put upon him the crown of thorns. He forgave the very men that scourged him. He forgave the very men that were going to nail him to that cross, drop it into that hole, take all of his bones out of joint, cause him to not be able to breathe, and eventually suffocate in crucifixion. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know of anybody that has hurt me that much. How about you? And if he can evidence a forgiving spirit in that situation and tells me I should evidence a forgiving spirit, then I have no option but to comprehend the teachings of God's word. That's why I made that the second point. Two shortcomings of an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the grace of God. And an unforgiving spirit does not comprehend the teaching truths of Scripture about forgiving one another for Jesus' sake. forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We come back to our passage, Luke chapter 15, and we look at those verses once more, 31 and 32. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet. Now, what's the idea of it was meet? It was right that we do this. It was right that I evidence a forgiving spirit. It's right that we are rejoicing. It's right that I killed the fatted calf. It's right that we're making merry. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He's repented of his sin. He's asked forgiveness. Now he's in, and I'd like for you to come in too. We never know how that ended, but I do know how to end this message. And then this message is simply this. Warning, an unforgiving spirit will rob your joy. I find nothing in the context of this scripture about everybody, and let me just elaborate this for a moment, but I don't find anybody in the house making merry, eating the fatted calf. Oh man, this is great, good to have you back. Oh, we're so glad. And I'm sure he went around and he was saying, I can just imagine the prodigal son going around and going, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I just came back to be a servant. Dad's treating me like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. And people coming up to him and hugging him, and he just was probably overwhelmed with the forgiveness that was evidenced through his father and through the other friends and everything of that nature. And so they're in the house and they're making merry and they're dancing and they're singing, they're happy. The elder son, though, the elder son, he's out here and he's just, boy, I can't believe it. What's going on in there? That's a servant. Boy, okay. And then dad came out there and everything. And then his dad talks. Now, you know what happened, don't you? You see, when he had that unforgiving spirit and people heard he was out there and heard he wasn't going to forgive his brother and heard that he had a right not to forgive his brother, oh, the party stopped. Stop the party. Stop it. Turn off the music. Get rid of that calf. No way. He's not going to forgive. We're in with him. That's the way it's going to be. Is that what happened? They kept on. They kept on making merry. They were still happy. They kept on with their excitement that this one who was what? Lost has been found. The only one that suffered because of the unforgiving spirit was the man with the unforgiving spirit. Because he didn't listen to the warning of God's word. Warning, an unforgiving spirit will rob your joy. I read those warnings in my book. And thankfully, I went beyond that. I read those warnings. I thought, well, they got to be here for a reason. And thankfully, I didn't nail myself to a wall with my nail gun. I got all my toes that are fine, no holes in my shoes. I didn't shoot anybody that came in to see how I was doing in the garage. I followed the warnings, and I was able to successfully use the nail gun and get the project done I needed to get done. Let's follow God's warning regarding an unforgiving spirit and get done what God wants us to get done. Let's pray. Father, what a great passage of scripture, and we're so thankful not just to share it, but to share it with people who have a receptive heart, people who desire to hear your word, people who've made the effort and expended the energy to come out tonight and be under the hearing of your word. And Lord, I love you, and I love your word, and I love these people, and I'm so thankful that you've given us this passage of scripture. I'm so thankful we can look at it, Father, and like a mirror, and we can see a reflection in the mirror, and pray, Father, that you would guard us. My own heart, Lord, as I think back over the years and the hurts and the pains and things have happened, I'm so glad that you've taught us this principle of an unforgiving spirit so that our joy not be robbed. Lord, help us to keep that fresh in our mind because we know hurts come and will be coming. But an unforgiving spirit keeps that joy in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.